Hello, this is the Media Report on RN and the ABC Radio app. I'm Richard Ady. Later in the show, you'll meet the co-founder of Blendle, the business that wants to be the iTunes of news and magazine articles. Before that, the fraught issue of reporting on allegations of sexual assault. It's been front and centre in America this week. That's because Columbia Journalism School delivered its long-awaited report into what went wrong in Rolling Stone's story, A Rape on Campus. This was published last November, and it was shocking. Essentially, a young student at the University of Virginia, she was called Jackie in the article, alleged she was gang-raped by seven men at a fraternity party and that the university failed to adequately respond. There was another source for the story, which quickly began to unravel. Just before Christmas, Rolling Stone asked the Columbia School to review what went wrong. Matthew Ingram, who writes about media for Fortune magazine, has been following this from the beginning.
As far as I can tell, problems started to emerge almost immediately. There were a couple of blog posts that I came across and pieces of commentary that said, this story sounds dodgy and it doesn't have enough sort of supporting evidence. You know, it's a compelling story, but there just isn't enough to go on. It's just one person's account and very little supporting evidence.
At what point did Rolling Stone ask Steve Cole, who's dean of the Columbia Journalism School, to investigate it?
I'm not sure on the exact timing of when that happened, but it took some time for them to do that, and then it took even more time for Columbia to do the actual review.
What do you make of that decision to go outside and in a fairly conspicuous manner, to go outside and say, look, we want other people to look at what we've done wrong?
I think it's a great decision, and I'm glad that it happened. You know, what has happened since the report came out is a different question, but I think the actual decision to do that was great. It's a nice antidote to the sort of the usual internal review that media companies do where, you know, they make a big show of pretending to look into something and then they find out that, oh, there's no problem at all and nothing bad happened. So it was good to have an independent third party and, you know, a pretty as reputable a journalistic source as you could get do that review.
The report is a comprehensive one, and there's a bit to talk about in it, but plenty of people have pointed out that the essential error was simple, that it was a story that in a way was too good to check.
Right, and that's certainly my feeling. Jay Rosen said pretty much the same thing. Clay Shirky, I think, said pretty much the same thing. I think Rolling Stone wanted it, and the writer wanted it too much. So they wanted it to be true, and they wanted to have this compelling story. And in fact, Jay points out, went into it looking for a kind of archetypal story about campus rape. I mean, it's a huge issue. Campus rape is a gigantic problem, and it's a horrible topic, and it's an important story. And so I think they really, really wanted to have a story that told that story and had all those aspects to it.
So in a way, it's very simple, but it's also, as these things often are, a bit more complicated. So the reporter concerned, Sabrina Erdely, it turns out, did have doubts and did sometimes try to verify events and occurrences and people, but she didn't do it consistently.
Right. And in fact, it's not clear to me that she tried as hard as I think she's trying to make it seem like she did. And I don't know that. So, you know, that's sheer speculation on my part. But, you know, there were obvious things that could have been done to say, try to track down the alleged, the accused, the men who were supposedly involved, men or boys who were supposedly involved in this incident. And so there were obvious steps that could have been taken that she just did not take. There were, from the sounds of it, there were things she did try to do and she ran into a dead end. But, you know, in most cases, certainly if you're questioning a story, you try those things multiple times and you try to come at them from multiple different directions. And at one point she said, you know, I wish the editor had been harder on me. And that's an odd statement to make in a way. I mean, it's your story. You're the one who's supposed to be kind of doing the groundwork. I mean, it's fair to say an editor probably should have been harder all the way up the sort of chain. But, you know, the fundamental responsibility is on the reporter to do the legwork that's required.
Yeah. In my reading, there are numerous times, well, there are several times when she is pressing the woman who is at the heart of this story. But when the alleged victim is less than enthusiastic about this, she doesn't press hard because she's concerned that she'll withdraw cooperation. And in fact, she's concerned really that the story will fall over. That's why she's not pushing too hard.
Right. And so that's the point at which alarm bells, I think, should have started going off. And instead, I think that's the point at which she wanted the story so badly that she didn't want to kind of spook her source and didn't want to offend her or kind of, you know, be insensitive or dig too deeply. And that's an impulse, I think, that reporters need to overcome. The hard part is it makes you an unpleasant person, pushing them about details of something that's horrible that happened to them.
Yeah.
And you're questioning them as though they're lying. But that's, you have to do that or the story isn't going to hold up.
I have to say, Matthew, thinking about this as I was reading the report, I would struggle personally to challenge the version of events being given to me by a young woman who said she'd been the victim of a horrific gang rape. I really would.
I would too. And I certainly, I mean, this is a difficult story for so many reasons, and that's one of them. I mean, this is just a really, really difficult story for a whole bunch of reasons. And one of them is that it's this horrible thing happened to this woman. Something happened. And we don't know exactly what happened because some of the details she's given us turn out not to be true. And we don't know whether, you know, she filled in the gaps with things that she made up or whether she forgot certain specific details. But it puts you in the position of challenging someone who's had a horrible event happen to them.
And this is in the context, I don't want to labour this, but this is in the context that we know that college rape is a real issue. And we also know that if someone says they've been raped, then they almost certainly have been raped. We know that people tell the truth about this between 90 and 100% of the time.
And I think that's a fair, you know, the writer's response, which was that she didn't want to question her too deeply because, you know, people in these situations, women in these situations get disbelieved all the time, and that's bad. You know, so she didn't want to sort of push her on details because it would make her feel even more victimized. And I don't think she's making that up. I could see her feeling. The problem is that led her astray in this case.
Is it fair to summarize the Columbia report, which is comprehensive and it's quite long, as saying this is not so much a failure of process, just a failure of skepticism from the very beginning?
Well, I guess in a way that is a failure of process. I mean, theoretically, when you have multiple layers of editors looking at a story over a significant length of time, we're not talking about something that was rushed out, you know, to meet a daily deadline. When you have multiple layers of editors, that's what they're supposed to be doing. Presumably they're not just checking to see whether things are spelled properly or the punctuation is right. You're supposed to have people pressure testing that story.
All right. So the retraction, it's been published. There's been a mea culpa. The report was commissioned and now published. There's a tradition of this now, especially in North American journalism, of saying, here's how we were taken in, or here's how we didn't follow through in the way we should have, and we're sorry. And you can see how this makes it clear that Rolling Stone is sorry. But is there journalistic value in this report?
I think there's huge journalistic value. I think every other news organization or media organization should be paying attention to this incident and to this report and learning something from it. My problem with it is that Rolling Stone doesn't seem to have learned much from it. So their apology, such as it is, is sort of questionable in its sincerity, and there has been no movement to do anything as a result so far. No steps taken against the writer, any of the editors, any of the structure, and the organization said they don't plan to change any of their operating procedures. So what was the point?
Matthew, I want to finish this by asking about the young woman at the center of all this. Do we know what happened to her? Do we know if anything happened to her?
Well, that's part of the problem, is we just don't know. I mean, there have been so many kind of different versions at this point that we just don't know. My sense from reading the original story, reading the report, reading the comments from editors at Rolling Stone, is that something happened to Jackie, but it's not clear what or when or who was involved. And so, you know, all we know is that the key aspects of that story have not been proven.
And the paradox is that Rolling Stone, which set out, I suppose, to put a marker down about something that we believe is going on in campuses, has actually muddied the waters, and we're no further on to actually putting this in the public domain and having something done about it.
In fact, it's even worse than that. They've actually set this whole cause backwards, because now anyone who wants to say that campus rape is not a problem can say, well, one of the big stories that was supposed to be emblematic of this issue was just made up, fabricated. And so it actually is going to make people question those stories even more rather than less, which sets that whole cause back decades.
Matthew, it's been good to get some clarity on this. Thank you very much for joining me today.
Thanks for having me.
Matthew Ingrams, a senior writer with Fortune magazine. It's a new job for him. I spoke to him via Skype. This is the Media Report on RN Radio Australia and the ABC Radio app. I'm Richard Adie.